next item is an update on the commissioner's crime prevention fund. I'd like to invite Commissioner Six to report.
Yes, it's not for you, Brian, really. The crime prevention fund, we mentioned it just as part of our first conversation there, and it's been put on hold because of the pandemic. So the police commissioner has suspended it because they just wanted to deliver a lot of the interventions. It's something that we're going to be looking at in relation to the wider community safety funding, which you mentioned before, but again, I was meant to come on the agenda, so that's just an update that is looking at where we are with it, what we want to support, but it'll be 4 weeks off the wider community.
Thank you, Commissioner. Do we have any comments or questions from the panel? Ms. Pickle?
Was there any crime prevention activity been lessened by the delays in grants? In other words, during the same period, there's one effective dealer in terms of delivery.
So, in terms of pre my time in office, I probably can't talk about it, but yes, I think that we were messed up about that because COVID was restricted so much activity. There was a lot of online work done, there was a lot of kind of virtual meetings and virtual activity, but I think some of the values of this craft virtual work is you know, face to face, you know, group activity. So I think, yeah, it did have an impact, but we did want to give funding out and not get the benefit of the work that was going to be coming through. So yes, it had that impact, but as I say, now we're starting to, dare I say, get back to normal. This will all start to close these things through again.
Thanks, Ms. Commissioner, in respect of the suspension of the prevention funding, one of the core duties of the police is, along with preservation of life, is prevention of crime. Have you done an impact assessment of what this suspension of crime prevention funding means?
We haven't done it per se. I mean, it's not to say there's not been anything, any crime prevention work going on. We did the youth diversion funds that happened over Walpole Highway, which I think detailed later in the report, that vouched for separate pot funding, which is entirely to see what's been funded and using certain things. It's a bit of a complicated situation as to why we're doing it. But so the house of work was done over the Highway period for youth diversion, and that's one of the areas I scrutinised the chief on in terms of what contribution they're making to the prevention side of things. We have added some of our victims' work. Around Castro's 2, for example, the work they're doing around diverting people away from criminality. So there's been a lot of crime prevention work being done. I think crime prevention fund is a very small part of that. And it's just because of the nature of what we've used funded out of it wouldn't have benefited because of the COVID restrictions. So now it's part of the use to say, well, actually, we want to start getting that thing going again, where are the gaps and where we want to come.
Thank you. Anybody else want to talk? Okay, then thanks very much, Commissioner. Then the actions we agreed, colleagues, are subject to our comments being taken on board. Are we satisfied with the Commissioner's intention to cause crime prevention funding 2021-2022, whilst the wider community safety funding is undertaken? Unless anyone speaks in objection, I'll take it that we are satisfied. Thanks very much. If there's no indications to speak in objection, it's recorded that that action has been endorsed. Colleagues, item 3C, community safety funding, you'll find on pages 61 to 68 from your agenda. The next item is an update on community safety funding, and I'd like to invite the Commissioner to take us through her report.
Thank you, Chair. So we touched on it briefly in our preset discussion, and I'll just say it's all part of this wider community safety funding review. I have made a decision to maintain the grant to the community safety partnership for this year based on the allocation you can see in the document. There's also a list in there of the criteria that we're going to be considering in terms of reviewing the funding, making sure we get close out of it, trying to do duplication, looking at what's existing, where the gaps are, and all of the criteria listed there really. So I know we've got a meeting as well with a colleague of Pablo after this meeting to have a bit of discussion about where to go with it. So again, I'm happy to report back over the future weeks as to how it works and progressing.
Thank you, Commissioner. Is anybody wish to speak on this item? Any questions? Mr. Pickle?
Yes, Chair. Just in terms of the 2017
Is it likely or is it preferable, I don't know, for the Commissioner's response, that all of these might be brought together on one pot rather than separately? And alongside that, while I'm working the report, I've found that there is quite an absence of specifics. What I mean by that is that while funding has been, and I'll say this as an independent member, not as a councillor, while funding has been given to local authorities, there's actually no feedback on what has been done with that, as an example. And a further example would be the vulnerable victims champion. At a cost of £185,000. What actually is the role of that? What is that designed to achieve? And how does that make value for money? A lot in there, but.
So, in terms of your first point about bringing together, and this is one of the things I want to look at, there are certain costs that are restricted by the nature of the people you're out to. So, some of them have those charities, some of them don't have to. So, that's what we're trying to navigate in a minute. And see how we can pull it together. We've also got a lot of funding streams, so things like Fire Structure Partnership, which is doing really great work in terms of fire structure prevention, and that's a very specific funding stream coming direct to the Home Office that has to cover a certain type of activity. So what I'm very keen to do in conversation that we have with the Chief is how do we bring this together, make sure that we aren't duplicating, because I am very keen that we maximise our competitive yet. So I don't know whether we'll be able to bring all into one pot necessarily, but I am keen that we try and make sure we have a consistent and a coherent strategy going forward that clearly identifies what the need is, who's funding which bit, and then we're maximising our independence again. So that's something that I think we'll be able to pick up as we go forward with the community safety strategy. In terms of the community safety partnership funding, so I think you do get an annual report that you will have the last year around the community safety funding and how it's been spent. One of the conversations that I'm going to be having with the community safety partnerships is around the monitoring of that, because I want to make sure that we're very clear about the impact of the community safety funding they're getting from me, where we're going, what impact they're having, and then being able to articulate that and put it in the public debate. So I'll be very happy to share that with you as we go forward as part of that, part of that work. And then I'm sorry, you mentioned vulnerable victims.
A working group looking into safety, which I understand we might be more about later. But for the panel, could you analyse the structure composition of that working group?
To be honest, that's one of the things I wanted to discuss with you. I've been in this meeting, so I think it's we wanted to get to door, we wanted to get through, and get to present, agreed. And then the next is work out we need to pull together. I also want to talk to all the community safety leaders, the local authorities, because they have a very clear role, particularly in relation to community safety partnerships, very keen to engage themselves, and then there'll be lots of people that we'll be talking to.
Work out how we maximise this. So,
I think that's we've probably going to be looking when we have that meeting and then we think back to yourself and then we'll have to take some things to meet. Thank you.
Councillor,
what's the next one? Thank you, Chair. I think you'd like to mention the pieces in terms of the review of the funding, but I just wondered in terms of specifically items in 4.3 on this agenda. So you said something about all the sort of issues that you would actually consider as part of this review. But I was wondering if you could just give us any clarification as to any findings at this stage.
So in terms of the findings, I suppose it probably comes back to that point of duplication and the fact that there's lots of really great work being done in lots of different pockets, but how well we are capturing that and how well we are articulating the gaps and how well we don't double funding things. So I think that's one of the areas that I picked up on a couple of ways. We've had lots of conversations about the partnership, but one of the areas within their team is around that evidence building and data gathering. So I'm really keen to work with them to look at what they're learning in terms of the exposure to their delivery and whether we can pick up some of that with respect to that happening across the board. So the honest answer is we haven't got lots of recommendations yet because I think it's a lot of work to get through. But for me, I think the reduplication system, and that's probably the main thing I'm able to try and eye out and make sure that we are maximizing the payment for consent.
Thanks, Councillor. Thanks, Commissioner. Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Councillor. So, colleagues, then, subject to our comments being taken on board, are we happy to endorse the Commission's proposals around community safety funding as outlined? Unless anybody indicates they want to speak, then I'll take it that they are satisfied. So, as there are no indications to speak, it will be recorded that the action was endorsed. Colleagues, if we turn to item 3D, which is a focus on peace and quiet plan, pillar 2, which is the priority supporting victims, we'll find the pages 69 to 112. I'd like to ask the Commissioner to take us through the report. Thank you, Commissioner.
Right, there's quite a lot of this report, and I'm also conscious that this was also the third of the meetings we were supposed to have in December, so there's a few quick things to get to there. So, the report will be detailed the activity up to November, as well as quite a detailed victim needs assessment and analysis of the services that we provide by victim supports. The victim services we're providing gives an analysis of some of the work that they're doing, which, you know, as you see, I think is really impactful. So I'll take any questions on that. In terms of updates to what's been happening since then, hopefully the youth workplace scheme has been developed. We've got a number of other organisations now waiting to take on the scheme and give some training. We have had an additional, we have lost the contract for the sexual violence victim services support, so £3.2 million, and that's over the next 5 years, which will give some sustainability to the support services, which is really positive. We've also managed to do the same with the Child Criminal Exploitation and Child Sex Exploitation Service, and they're going to be scratching us to do a bit of delivering that in the next few years as well. And the fact that all the five countries, as I say, is really positive because it gives us the sustainability to be able to deliver long term support for those vulnerable victims. We've also seen commissioned the appropriate adult scheme. So, this is the scheme that when individuals are taken to custody, they might be vulnerable. There is a statutory duty of local authorities to provide this for children. There is not the same for vulnerable adults. You might need somebody who can help support them and make sure they are getting a fair hearing once in custody. So, we've continued to fund that because it's a hugely important support for those individuals, and that's been signed up as well. I think since the last meeting, I've had my second scrutiny meeting with Chief Constable, and so I think hopefully you might have had an opportunity to see some of that. We live streamed it as I've been in the first one, and also we focused quite a lot on vulnerable victims as part of our discussion, and particularly looking at sexual violence for girls. So there was a lot of detail in that meeting, and I gave quite a challenge back to the Chief on what she's doing to make sure victims are being looked after. And particularly in terms of that work around vulnerable women and some of the issues that we're facing there. And I've heard another thing to add is that I've also now just started to get work to go to pull through a victims programme board. So this is where redrafting terms of reference is looking how we pull that together. We are reviewing the referral mechanism. So currently we pay a portion to Westside Police to deliver the referral mechanism for how victims get referred on to those external support agencies. We are in the process of reviewing that and on the back side of the decision to look at what that might look like moving forward. I will bring back the details to each meetings. But the victims programme board will be a really key board to look at how the police are responding to victims, how they're improving their response to victims, how any concerns, monitoring the implications of this referral process, and anything else around victims and making sure they're getting the best response. So there's lots more to be done since that meeting, but yeah, happy to take it on.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Commissioner. Councillor Banner.
Thank you, Chair. I just wonder if you might want to comment on the issue of the Ministry of Justice that you mentioned in your report. Is it likely to be permanent funding or a short-term increase based on the table?
So, like with everything, funding from the government, it is many a complication, and the honest answer is we still don't know. We are again having very challenging conversations with the Ministry of Justice, and I've been tweeted at Dominic Wild to say, well, everyone, because every lot of these contracts are due to resolve in April, and we still don't know what funding is going to be. I'm very confident we will get a grant, I think the confidence that money will be there. Whether we get the uplift that we've seen over COVID, I don't know. I'm hopeful that we will, because the demand has not gone away, particularly around domestic abuse and sexual violence. So I'm very much hopeful that we will get it. How much flexibility they give us, and whether they look to try and ring fence it, might be a challenge in terms of what we can deliver. But yeah, I'm hopeful for what we don't know. And hopefully it's true that they'll tell us the final decision, that'd be great, because we really want to be able to put our best position.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Rowland. Oh, I do beg your pardon. Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Rowland.
Thanks, Chair. Commissioner, I see that this function, this is to be able to scrutinise the work that you're doing within your reports. I find this report that I'm getting like a lot of your reports where there's lack of information on like some figures and what you're actually doing. And 6.4 regarding Commissioner Service Support, what do they actually do for that £185,000? What are the figures around it? We need to be able to sort of gauge whether it's been successful or not successful. We can't do that if we haven't got that kind of information within the report.
So, in addition to the report that we've written, you've also got the update report at the back, which was attached to it, so Victim Care Service Assigned, so the Victim Commissioning Programme Quality Progress Report, really long title. That tells you some of the information around what they have been doing that quarter. So, there's updates there for all the commissioning agencies that I commissioned, and some of the detail about how many cases they supported, the types of people they supported, some of the user feedback, some of the case studies in terms of how what positive impact they made. So there's a lot of information in there that hopefully will be very short. But you know, there's more information you want, very happy to have a conversation in terms of what more detail you need. We do an annual report as well that does summarise the impact of some of these services, which I think did we bring to a previous meeting? I think you might have had it at the first meeting. But again, you know, the more information you want, let us know. We're certainly happy to show you later, because there's a lot of work being done by the agencies in particular.
Mr. Pickle?
Well, I'm afraid I'll say, I refer to the question I asked earlier. Respectively, alongside that, the report is very poor, as it should be, regarding developments concerning domestic abuse, women, women and girls, etc. And I fall down with no comments at all. But I met the question about all the victims, burglary, assaults, etc., etc., which there's a lot of. And I'm thinking about elderly persons, everything verbal. The effects that they suffer and the help that they need often outweighs that which any other individual may need. So I'm concerned that alongside what extra work is being done in these areas, needs of other victims are covered as well.
Yes, no, I couldn't agree more. I think that's something that we were very mindful of. I made no apologies about my prioritisation of the fact that the girls' gender is something I've obviously spoken about during the election since being elected. But I'm very mindful of, as you say, there are a number of victims out there who I think are not getting the best service from the police and the other agencies at the minute. And that's something that we are looking at. So the victim programme board that I mentioned earlier, one of those issues is going to be looking at what is the response that police are giving to vulnerable victims of whatever crime type. We'll be able to review, you know, what feedback we get from victims, how the police are adapting their response. I also mentioned the referral process that we're reviewing. So I'm quite, you know, kind of cautiously optimistic about this. I think this could be a really good positive change. The comments are loads of detail yet, but I do think that would be a good shift in terms of victims getting that support we identified earlier, having a kind of single point of contact, and all of the issues that we know come up because police officers are not either able or willing to do that support. We need to ensure that support is being provided. So there is lots of work being done for those individuals, and as I say, there will be more information coming forward. I just can't give you a lot of detail yet, but you're absolutely right. We're a priority as much as anybody else, and we are mindful of that.
My earlier question about the vulnerable
Bowl champion, the Bowl Bowl Fitness champion.
So Bowl Bowl Fitness champion service, so this is the service that we provide, which actually targets for those individuals that we're talking about. So if somebody has been identified as a Bowl Bowl victim and has been, say, a victim of a burglary and needs somebody to talk to, needs it, so a voice to be offered and support, victim support are currently the people who offer that. They've been commissioned to offer that support, and so the police should refer them to victim support as soon as they're identified, and then victim support will be in touch with them. But that's one of the areas that's all being reviewed as part of this referral process.
Thank you, Chair. I want to acknowledge the very important work that you're doing as regards tackling violence against women and girls. And I think we all can appreciate that you mentioned this through your manifesto, and so it's great to see that lots of work is being done in this area. But my specific question is going to be about hate crime. And I have witnessed some of the work that your legal team have been doing in terms of identifying and responding to these crime hotspots. So just following up on this, do you think that your legal team have learned anything in terms of trends? And if there's anything that maybe if you have fingers in terms of how those activities have been measured over time. And I would also like to know in terms of some of the bars or clubs that have been trained, this in terms of hate crime, in terms of homophobia. So do you intend to spread these sort of parts of the society as well? Thank you.
Great questions. My communication team have been doing great work. We've got a lead now in the office for hate crime, and he's been very proactive in terms of going out and doing those walk-ups with the police. We're obviously still working very closely with Stop UK to share the material so people don't feel comfortable reporting to the police. There is somewhere they can go, make sure that the data is recorded. So we do monitor that and we do look at it. I know the police do as well in terms of identifying any trends. We were out last Friday in Wirral, for example, in the Beechwood estate, and a number of people were saying, the housing association was saying, a lot of the complaints and reports they're getting are actually hate crime related, which surprised me because it wasn't something I would have expected. But actually, then we were able to then get some stop hate materials. We did a walk on with a lot of police officers and we tried to kind of offer some of that reassurance. So we are really looking at where the data is coming in around hate crime. In terms of the Your Safe Pay scheme, yes, so we've got a seminar training program set up now for the new year, and I think we've been overwhelmed with responses from the Safe Centre, which is brilliant. I really think so many bars and clubs are involved with it. We are very keen to roll out some of the parts of the particular act of economy, so we've placed over at Birkenhead, places at St Helens. So yes, I think it's just about capacity at the minute, but yes, we're willing to roll out as far as, many people we can get more interested, we'll definitely do that.
Thank you.
Councillor Hooton.
Thank you, Chair. This is following on from the question I asked the Chief Counsel about earlier questions. It's also linked to all the work that's been done on violence against women and girls. Given the recent tragic events in Liverpool City Centre, do you feel that there could be more progressive work done in schools that may have left this tragic incident unhelped?
So I assume you're referring to Ava White's murder, yes. That was hugely, hugely tragic murder, and really shocking. I know everybody, I think, really felt it. I think, interestingly, we speak to the school where she was a pupil, they've been overwhelmed with support, and they've kind of said, you need to stop now because so many people want to offer that support and get involved, which I think is a real testament, really, to how much we want to come together and tackle this issue. There is lots of work being done. The Chief mentioned earlier around the school's offices, and they're doing really proactive work trying to identify where they should be engaging with people. We've also, through the Environmental Protection Partnership, been commissioning some work within schools around relationships, around misogyny, and really trying to kind of highlight how misogyny can appear and sort of recognise the signs of it. So they're very light on kind of that going into those spaces, doing that work with young people in particular. I'm having ongoing conversations, and I have been meeting with Joanne Anderson, who's been very important, and some of the colleagues who are supporting the Liverpool specifically around any gaps, and we're looking to see what else we can do in terms of offering that support. I'm really keen to, I'm referring to it as a kind of youth summit, and it's something we're going to over the next few months in terms of how we pull together a conversation with your people, how do we actually, you know, why are we getting involved in these things, how do we really know what we should be doing, what are the drivers. I think we know a lot of it, but I think it would be really great to make sure that we are listening to your people, trying to find out, you know, if we're not doing, how can we develop some of that work. As I said, margin and partnership is going to be key to that in terms of some of the interventions that they're delivering. So yeah, lots of work being done, lots of conversations about what we can do, and yeah, hopefully we'll see some of that.
Thank you. Colleagues, the actions we agree then, subject to taking our comments on board, we'll be satisfied that efforts are being made to achieve this priority. Unless anyone raises their hand with objections to speak, I'll take that the article is called. As there are no indications to speak, we've called that that action would be in the okay, colleagues, if we turn to item 3E, which is the focus on peace and crime, and pillar 2, the priority is safer communities. Final pages 413 to 124 of the document pack. So I'd like to invite the Commissioner to take us through the report.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, we probably covered some of it within that first report, actually, about victims, because, you know, by the nature of these things, they do cross over to one another. So, you know, forgive me if there's any kind of replication of what we talked about. I mentioned about the partnership, so they thought what we wanted to do again. Vulnerable from before Christmas, so that was all the activity up to that point. So I haven't taken any questions on that. In terms of updates of where we've done since then, I've mentioned the Boundary Partnership and the ongoing conversations we're having with them and the work they're doing, particularly around the new files and questions that you mentioned, Constitution. And we have, I mentioned about the board bikes, so I'll continue to do lots of kind of co-activity going in meeting communities and speaking to the local area. So I mentioned the beach run walk around we did on Friday, trying to engage with them, find what the issues are. We know that some communities have a hesitancy to report crime. What can we be doing to try and, you know, change that or find out what's going on and make sure that people are getting support? We have done some work with Stop the Traffic, so there was an International Day for Ending Slavery, and so I just focused on the traffic to try and, well, we've got some awareness rating cards that were distributed to young people and some training teachers to make sure that young people are able to spot signs, particularly their colleagues in school, they're getting involved in criminality, and they're being kind of trafficked across the country to deliver drugs. That's a real kind of life threat from their side. So we did some work with Stop the Traffic to raise awareness about that. I supported the Holocaust Memorial Day service that took place last week. Obviously, you know, we have some issues on anti-Semitism, and I'm really keen to make sure that is, you know, a lot of all kind of forms of hate crime that we pull that out. So I was pleased to be able to support that activity as well. We mentioned the All Safe Here scheme as part of the hate crime training for staff in the bars, and again, we've got a number booked in for the next few months to do more training for that. And then I think we also mentioned in the report about independent custody visitors recruitment. So just as a reminder, these are the volunteers who go to custody suites and they will meet with detainees, check in on their well-being, check in on their food and drink, you know, have they spoken to a doctor or a nurse, and you know, have them go to speak to a lawyer, just making sure that their rights are being held and they're being supported as far as you can be when you're in a custody setting. So we've done recruitment for that now, so we've got a whole host of new volunteers who are being vetted and looking forward to get out onto the meeting, so to speak. So yeah, have a say, any
questions? Thank you, Mr. Councillor
Brown. It's only an administrative issue, really. The diversity committee victim service recommendation service that we've published on the website, whether that is a license sheet.
Sorry, which hasn't been published?
So yeah, decision code 5.1, the victim service recommendation service.
Oh, is that the next?
I think that's just the next item. Sorry, decisions. Sorry, we're waiting 3 years now. But yeah, no, don't worry.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
I know, apologies.
There is a lot of reports.
I can answer that later.
Cross the road.
Thanks, Chair. Just a quick one, Commissioner, I mean, obviously you've had the podcast recorded this highlighted this week, and are you happy with the improvements in the diversity training that's going on within the municipality?
Yes, so it's a really good question. My first briefing meeting, we looked to look at diversity in terms of recruitment, and it's something we're getting very good updates on in terms of how they are engaging with different communities, trying to encourage that diversity coming through into the workforce. So there's some progress there, which is positive. I'm due to meet with the head of the training academy, so the first thing is the staff who are actually delivering the training for the new recruits, and I'm going to be asking them about what work they're doing to try and encourage people to think about what they're voting, when they're doing their job. So even if they're not from that community, how can they make sure they're sufficiently able to understand the kind of challenge they might be facing, and to make sure that every officer is prepared to support every community. So I'll be picking that up as well in the next week.
Thank you, Chair. Just on item 8 related, because I'd just like to comment that as council and full city councils have received very thorough regular reports and updates on that, and that has been very reassuring, because that was a horrific shock to everybody. And just pass on the thanks, please.
Yes, I will, thank you. I'm afraid of that.
Mr. Owens? The answer is not. Sorry, thank you. Anything else on this one? No? Okay, colleagues, then subject to our comments being taken on board, are we satisfied with the efforts being made to achieve this priority? Yeah. So, as there are no indications, the speed of the call of the action is in progress. Thank you, colleagues. If we turn to item 3F, which is the Police and Crime Commission's decisions, which you'll find pages 125 to 128, I'd like to invite the Commissioner to take us through this report.
Yes, so it's quite a few decisions to go through, but obviously, because we missed the last meeting, but I'm happy to take any questions on anything. So, what was the question? It wasn't published on the website.
Yeah, in terms of the accounts, it's very similar to
time to do so.
Yeah.
We also did to the PSA,
yeah.
Yeah. So, the company reviewing that, you know, we'll probably go into that again. That's the national.
Yeah, yeah.
And process. In terms of the state of accounts, the opinion on the accounts is given. We're just waiting for the value from reassessment, which is the second opinion. That has not arrived yet, it's still undertaking the third way. But I'm hopeful by the end of this month that that opinion will be issued. So that's the good thinking so far. But they have said that, as you've seen from yourselves, in terms of the accounting, in the value of the opinion, they have that move back a bit more.
Okay.
Councillor Rowland.
Thanks, Chair. Just a quick one for you. You mentioned the few articles that go through disposal, and one comes in my board and head school. So just a little bit, you may or may not be able to answer the question, but yes, I'm happy that it's coming to are we going to be able to retain the building? Do you know that in the sales slowdown?
I don't think I can say that yet because of commercial sensitivities, I think probably we can't say that in it, but the board is going to consider commercial sensitivities, sorry.
I understand.
Thank you, colleagues. Subject to our comments, we've been taken on board. We have been decisions made by the commissioner since our last meeting. Thank you. I've got no indications to speak to. We've got to be satisfied with the decisions taken by the commissioner. Colleagues, if we turn to item 4 on the agenda, which is governance arrangements, it's an update on the issues and recommendations made by Peace and Crime Panel. You'll find these documents at 129 to 132. Item 4 is an update on our comments and recommendations from the previous meeting. Commissioner, I'd like you to direct the tapes through that report.
Yes, okay. So, the first one around the critical care system, so that's ongoing, as the ICF events, we are in conversations with special meetings and speak to them on how we can link together more closely. So, that is in progress being done. The delivery plan is the draft form at the minute. We've drafted it within our office and we're just kind of putting in the right conversion things and then we can share it with you. So hopefully for next meeting we'll be able to give you an update on that. The next one was done. Again, 3B has been resolved around the kind of briefing. In terms of the 3C, in terms of the interim chief exec, yeah, we've drafted up a timeline for the chief improvement and we'll probably say that we'll do it before next meeting probably time will be more by the key to get back to it. So if that's the case, we'll send it through yourself to say it out after soon as we've got it done. The state strategy update, hopefully you will now have a safe date for the implementation to the new police HQ. So yes, safe date as soon as we know for sure. The reality confirms we will confirm it yourself. And again, you know, the other issue there around visiting other sites, she called us earlier, and we're very happy to still say that. So now we've got our sort of going up again, if there's any particular areas you want to come with you, let us know, we'll make sure that is arranged for yourselves. The vision needs assessment, I believe we are in the process of putting the data down in your briefing around some of the victim referral processes that I mentioned earlier, so we'll expect that on and we're finally doing this briefing. Yeah, so that will be down soon for anybody who wants to get more information about the process. I don't think there's anything else to flag up, but happy to take any questions.
Are the panel members happy then with the response by the Commissioner to the previous recommendations and comments? As no one's indicated that we want to speak, then we will be told that we are happy with those responses. Thank you, colleagues. Colleagues, if we turn to item 5, which is the final item, it's the panel's mid-year financial update for 2021-22. I'd like to invite Mr. Brown to take us through that report.
Thank you, Chair. This report was due to be considered at the postponed December meeting, so obviously it might not seem timely, but it was planned to be considered by you before the end of last year. It's the standard half-yearly financial update with regards to how the Home Office grant that is provided to support the activity of the panel is used by the host authority. As Section 3 sets out, that is a limited funding grant which has remained the same figure since the panel was established. The figures in Section 4 give a comparison with the same period in 2020-21 compared to 21-22. There is a lower level of expenditure for the first half of the year. I think that can be understood, bearing in mind the context of what had to be done in that initial period in 2020-21 as the pandemic took hold and additional meetings that had to be held and supported in that period in an online way, which has never been done before, so that created greater demands. In terms of the first half year expenditure, if that pattern were to be repeated in the second half year, we would overspend in comparison with the grant funding figure. Unfortunately, that is in keeping with the pattern that's been established in recent years, and it's probably a function of the grant funding figure having remained unchanged for nearly a decade. So it's just the panel consider the half year update in terms of the budget support of the panel. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Moran. Councillor Rowlands?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think this panel is about the It is the link between the community and the Commissioner, the Chief Constable. It is vital. The fact that there hasn't been a rise in coming together to support this panel is, in my view, a bit negligent. I think we should include in the letter that goes to government those comments and obviously form words together to say that, you know, we would like this as a panel to be happening, to be looked at for some increases to support this panel, because, as I've said before, it's a vital panel, and I don't think it's right to be not having increased funding over 10 years. The more power things.
Just to remind you, I totally agree with you, as it's a cross party, I'm sure the independent members probably noticed that as well. I just wonder whether perhaps a separate letter in respect to that might have a better impact as opposed to the other letter, which, you know, doesn't have much effect. But I think we're rising. The other worrying concern is that what signal is that the fact that it's not being increased for the host authority over 10 years, there's a sort of signal being out there, isn't it, that it's not an important function.
I started to restrict what the panel can do because of the budgetary situation. And I think that can't suffice either. You need to be able to delve into all different areas and put it together to do that. Yeah.
To pick up.
Yes, I was actually going to reinforce what you were saying. I think it's a separate letter, because I think it's a separate issue to the council tax issue. And I certainly think, for example, if the visits that are envisaged take place, then that legitimately adds to the cost of running this panel. And clearly, at the moment, they cannot be taken into account in the expenditure. So I think that would cover the likely overspending, however they call it. And therefore, I would be encouraging that we seek an adjustment upwards of that funding.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for that. And also, we'd like to sort of reinforce the fact that rather than this panel remunerate, and I don't pay any expenses for going here. So, we basically couldn't get a more efficient sort of scrutiny panel for the money that's provided. Really, you know, the company is established to play really in sort of doing the right thing by those authority, obviously, better than. So, colleagues, then, are we subject to the letter going out to the Home Office in respect to that?
Also, I mean, we all have contact with our employee MPs, so maybe something that we can bring to their attention. I'm sure it's not on their radar. It might be useful if we can communicate to them as well, as individuals.
Chair, just to add, the panel members will probably be aware that the PCC arrangements have been subject to review by the Home Office, a two-part review. And in 2021, they did engage with postal authorities who supported police and ground panels as part of that review. I can assure our members that there were strong messages sent to the Home Office as part of that, to reiterate the point that the funding levels have remained unchanged over the decade, but we still await the outcome of that review to see whether that message has been heard. But I appreciate what the panel is saying, and I'm happy to frame a letter accordingly in support of the panel's wishes. Thanks, Chair.
We will not give you another vote, Chair.
No. Thanks, David. Good morning.
Thanks, Chair. I just wonder if we don't get time to that letter, if we just then forward that to you, please. And that way we all send the same message out across the organisation.
Well, this costs all time in the
Chair, we'll look into that. If that's not possible, then perhaps it's your choice as a panel whether you want to do the lobbying yourselves or for us to do it automatically by copying them in on a letter that is sent to the Home Office. Happy to be guided by the panel.
Chair, can we not ask for, because obviously you will be signing a letter as Chair, and therefore it's not reasonable for the officers and notaries to send that letter to the MPs as a letter that you have written on behalf of the panel?
Yeah, well, if we can copy them in, then so we'll copy in all the MPs for the constituents to talk to you, then that's okay, David. Yeah, sorry to bring you in that, but it's important. Thanks, colleagues. Then the action on this one, then, we're happy to endorse the panel's this year financial update for financial year 2021-22. I think there are no indications anyone to speak, so we've gone for happy with your responses. Item 5, prepare to meet, colleagues, beg your pardon. Any items being of an urgent nature? I have no other items of an urgent nature, so I'd like to thank you for your attendance today and declare the meeting closed. Thank you.